Amen. 3 months. Oh, my goodness. Well, amen. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, that is. Saints of Victory Baptist Church. Man, if you're glad to be saved on this today, say. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's no better thing in the whole world than to know the Lord and to be saved. I do praise the Lord and, you know, thank Him for the opportunity, of course, He has given me to stand before you this evening and bring forth the Word of God. And I also thank Pastor Knight for asking and trusting me to be one of the men of this church here to stand behind this pulpit while he is gone about to do the Lord's business elsewhere. And so that means a whole lot to me. And I trust that I'll, number one, of course, honor the Lord, amen, and of course respect this pulpit here because it's His. The Lord has called him here. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but while I've been sitting here, you know, up under and just listening to him over the past several months, Pastor Knight, he is doing a wonderful job, a wonderful job. I remember hearing him many years ago. And his style of preaching has somewhat changed. Yes. And I told him, I tried to encourage him. I stopped by every now and then and talk with him in his office and just let him know and try to encourage him. I says, look, you're on it. You are doing it. You have got hold of the Lord, and you have it synchronized just right. And he says, well, I appreciate that, and he's encouraged. So I would encourage you all every now and then to send him a letter and stop by or give him a card or, you know, and just encourage him because being in the ministry also, in pastoring, it is a challenge. It is a great challenge out there. So let's just get right off into the message of this evening. What do I have? Till 10 o'clock? No, 8? Praise the Lord. Amen. Off into the message this evening. And I've titled this message, My Heart is Fixed. My Heart is Fixed. And so if you would turn in the scriptures, the Word of God, to Psalms 112. And as you're turning there to Psalms 112, let me just, if I can, for about 30 seconds, sort of give a little shout out there to my wife. She might be looking on Facebook while she's in Korea, and it says, hi there, hon, I miss you. And I hope all is well with you over there in Korea. I have you know how you tie a yellow ribbon around the tree? Right? I didn't have a yellow ribbon, but I had a yellow necktie. So I have a yellow necktie tied around the tree, right? And it's hanging there, you know. So just to let her know, is, hey, hurry home soon. All right. And, of course, also want to give a little shout out to Pastor Warren Owens and the members of Lawrence Baptist Church up there in Indianapolis, Indiana, and especially Rose Hogan, who sends me cards and letters and little things about every other week. So praise the Lord for you all. Now, if you remember, if you were here last Sunday evening when Missionary Fisher was up here, and he used this psalm here, Psalm 112. Of course, he preached down the whole psalm, verses 1 through 10. And he focused on verse 4, as you notice, if you remember. He focused on verse 4, and of course, his message was, we need to be gracious and have compassion and live righteous. That was his message. And as he, of course, was preaching down through this psalm and focused on verse 4, and I had remembered that Pastor Knight had asked me, you know, to preach in his absence, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, what will you? That's the first thing that always, I go to the Lord and say, what will you have me to preach? Okay, and so when Missionary Fisher was preaching, the Lord impressed upon my spirit, verse 7 out of Psalm 112. And so, if y'all don't mind, please, if you can just stand, just to read this one passage here out of Psalm 112 and verse 7. And in the scriptures, the Word of God, it says, And he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this great opportunity you've given unto me to stand before these precious people. You're precious to me and them. Thy word is precious to me and them. And I pray this evening, gracious Father, that you can use this earthen vessel in a way that will give you glory and honor, and that will be of a help, a blessing, and an edification to the hearers. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I do, of course, as I just mentioned there, hope to honor the Lord this evening. And I do believe that he laid this upon my heart to bring forth this evening here. And I tell you, this word here in verse 7 about the psalmist saying that his heart was fixed. And if you notice there, his heart was not fixed in on his bank account. His heart wasn't fixed on his 401k. His heart wasn't fixed on, you know, mom or dad or uncle or aunt or brother or sister or anything of the world. His heart was not fixed on anything except trusting in the Lord. Amen. And let me tell you, that is very, very important, because let me tell you, there are many people throughout the world that their heart is fixed on many things. And of course, you'll read it off in the newspaper or the tabloids or everything. And sometimes when those things that their hearts are fixed on disappear, go bad, guess what? All of a sudden, then they go south. It hurts them dramatically. And I've even read somewhere, this is about several years ago, where there was a family, a couple whose their hearts was just given to their only child, their son. And that's fine to love your children and love your son and love your daughter. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when your whole heart is just given unto them above any and everything and above the Lord, and when something happened to their child, they got in an accident, and the boy died. And they couldn't handle it. And they both went to a cliff, held hands, and jumped off the cliff and committed suicide. Let me tell you, we don't have to do that. If your heart is fixed on the Lord and trusting in Him, okay, He will keep you. No matter what type of trial or tribulation, or in here in this verse here, in verse 7, if there's some evil tidings, that is, some negative or bad news come your way, man, if your heart is fixed and trusting in the Lord will cause the fear of that negative news, okay, to disappear or dissolve. And you will be able to press forward in the Lord, because you know that He will take care of you. I'm not going to get into it about here lately. I've been going through a lot of appointments, having a lot of appointments up there at VA. I've had 10 appointments at VA. I've been through 6 of them already, and have actually 4 more to go so far. And in one of them, the doctor called me, and he said, I've got the results of it. I've had CAT scans and MRIs and different things that they've done thus far. And he said, I have the results of some of your tests. And matter of fact, he sent me a sheet, and it listed several. It enlisted 5 things that they was thinking that was, you know, something wrong with them, this earthen vessel here. And I remember when my wife was here and she was sitting to my left in our little den. And I started reading down some of those. And I just said, okay. And I just put that sheet over to the side, right? And I just went to continue to working on my computer. And I noticed her, she was just silent. And she was over and go, and I was like, what's wrong? And she said, honey, that is very disturbing news. I said, okay, it's okay. That's what the doctor says, but there's a great physician up there who has the last say. He's the one that's in control of everything. And that was just my take on it, my attitude on it, right? And she says, how can you just, I says, hon, look, God is in control of everything, okay? He knows the ins and the outs of my life, the beginning, the end. He knows we're going to take. He knows everything. So I'm just trusting in Him to take care of everything. And she said to me, she said, I need to I need to get to that point. I say, well, you can. Just trust in him. Just trust in the Lord there. So, well, amen. All right. And so that was just a little commercial break there for you. All right. But here, you know, in the psalmist in our passage, he's not worried, you know, he wasn't worried at that time back then what he faced in the Lord, whatever trial or tribulation came his way, because his heart was fixed on trusting in the Lord. He knew that the Lord was going to take care of everything for him. His heart was fixed. His heart was established. It was steadfast in trusting in the Lord. And I just want to encourage you tonight, you know, please have your heart. I trust and have that your heart will be fixed on the Lord and the things of the Lord. Okay. And over there in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we're admonished there, you know, to be unmovable, be steadfast and unmovable. Have our hearts, amen, to be established and steadfast and fixed on the Lord. There's just a couple of things. I have five down here, and I'll probably, if I don't get through them, and I should, I'll probably skip at least maybe one or two, and so that we can finish up and be on time for this evening. Amen. I want to be obedient. I think it's 8 o'clock, so I want to be on time for you. But yet still, be used of the Lord to encourage and edify your spirit. First of all, you know, let's think about some things here just for a few moments. Our hearts should be fixed, amen, on God's word. Okay? It should be fixed on God's word. You say, why might you say? Well, I'm glad you asked that question there. You know, because number one, you know, his promises hold true. God's word's promises hold very true. His word will never fade away. You know, it is everlasting unto everlasting. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And God's own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, confirmed what the psalmist said about his word being forever settled over there in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, I thought on that for a moment. I says, you know, Psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words shall not pass away. So even when heaven and this heaven that we know about it and earth and everything is gone, the words of God will yet still be here. Amen. Yet still prevail and be around. So count on the word of God there. Have your hearts settled, steadfast, and fixed on the word of God. 1 Peter 1:25, he said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 119:160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every word of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Forever. When I was up in Indiana, you only have to have one license plate, and that's on the rear of your vehicle. But I just changed over to Texas. I got my Texas driver's license now. Well, it's on the way. I got the permit now. And I'll tell you, it's been a challenge these last several days. My son can tell you, because I've had to call on him to take me here and there to get the Texas license, because my Indiana license expired last Friday on my birthday, and I had to take the written test over and the driving test over, and even that impact course. I had to look at that video, an hour and a half video. But I have to admit, that impact hour and a half video that they put together, that is really good. I believe that every young person, amen, should look at that video they put out. Okay, it talks about texting and driving, and they have a lot of real life scenarios that they have incorporated throughout those lessons there. It's really good, heart impacting. But anyway, when I was up in Indianapolis there, the front of my car, I had a license plate. It wasn't like a license plate from the bureau, but I had a license plate that read KJV, 1611, Psalms 12, 6 and 7. And a lot of times when I was parked at different places, I see people looking at the front of it. And they'd look and read it, and then it caused, like a conversation piece. And it allowed me to start speaking with them concerning the Word of God. And even though it said King James Bible, let me tell you, I believe in the King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people. They're coming out. Matter of fact, what was that one you told me the other day? CSB Christian Standard Version? Christian Standard, Bible, a new one or something they just came out with. And let me tell you, we have the inerrant, infallible Word of God here in the King James Bible. It doesn't need to be tampered with and updated. It'll never get outdated, okay? That's Psalms 12, 6, and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We have it right here. And so I'll tell you what, my heart is fixed on this Word of God and can never, ever be talked out of it. And I will stand before the Lord just believing it with my dying breath. Throughout, of course, God's Word, we understand, that it comforts. It comforts, it satisfies, it heals, it protects, it provides. We read all that through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. And let me tell you, we can be assured, of His Word. It will never pass away. It will never be wrong. It will never be outdated. And it will never, ever mislead anyone. That is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that we use, amen, to fight the devil. Christ Himself used it. Word of God. It is written. We need the Word of God, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Matter of fact, we're admonished to let the Word of God dwell within us richly. And so that lets you and I know that we should be in the Scriptures every day. If there's, I know we take vacations and things like that, and that's good. But we should never, ever take a vacation, amen, from reading the Word of God. Let me read what Job said. Here in Job 23:12, Job said this. He said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I think Job's heart was fixed on the Word of God, wasn't it? Amen. More than his necessary food. That means he got up in the morning, and guess what? He was in the Word of God. He was meditating on the Word of God. And that's the way you and I, amen, should be. Have our hearts fixed on the Word of God. Right. Is your heart fixed on the Word of God? Yeah. You can tell because we've been given that Bible reading chart. Now, don't raise your hand, okay? But that Bible reading chart, I wonder how many here is up to date on that Bible reading chart. Okay, don't tell on yourself now, all right? Let me tell you. We're right now in Chronicles, okay? And I have to admit, I had to look up and say, "Lord, some challenging reading here. All those names, and I read every one of them, but I have to admit, they're challenging. They slow me down, put it that way. Get to them and try to pronounce it and look over here and say, how is that word? How is that person's name pronounced? But I'm in it, and reading every last word. Yes. Word there. We need to be there. Okay? Also, our hearts should be fixed on singing. Our hearts should be fixed on singing. You say, singing what? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad you asked. Amen. If your heart is already fixed on, of course, the Word of God, then the Word of God gives us, amen, instructions, okay, what to sing, all right? And so we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19. It reads thus, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, all right, this is what's going to happen. Speaking to yourself in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto who? Unto the Lord. An example of a psalm, say like Psalm 91. Okay? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And that's a psalm. That's like the first two verses there of Psalm 91. And if I may have my there, okay. And so, and back then, that's what the Israelites, the Jews, they sang. They sang the psalms. And we have many, many psalms there. And I wish I knew them all, but they're very wonderful, amen, to sing. What was the next one there? If we have our hearts fixed, amen, on singing, there is psalm, and then there is a hymn. Now, when I was at the house, I have a hymnal that looks exactly like the blue hymnals we have in your seats there. And I wrote down, of course, the number, which was number 493 in the one that I had. But when I got here and I looked in the hymnal here, it's not there. This song is not there. And it wasn't even in the one up here. And so, but I found it over there in that the red book that's on the piano over there. But it was a something that was just on my heart at that time. And it was hymn 493. And since the Savior found me. Now, actually, I had planned that we would all take a hymnal, right, and actually sing this hymn. But it looks like I'm kind of stuck by myself here. But if you know it, if you know this hymn, since the Savior found me, all right, you sing along, okay? All right. Since the Savior found me and pardoned all my sin, I have had the joy and living hope within. Gone is all the shame and sorrow of the past. They're underneath the precious blood of Christ at last. Save, I'm happy on the way. Save, oh, I love him more each day. Save, oh, I know he's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. Oh, since the Savior found me, all to him I owe. For his precious blood has washed me white as snow. Now no condemnation, happy as can be. I'm glad that Jesus justifies and sets me free. Oh, save, I'm happy on the way. Save, oh, I love him more each day. I'm save, I know he's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. Amen. You know, and those are the hymns, praise the Lord, amen. Those are hymns, those are one of many, and I don't know how many hymns we have off in there. It's like 500 something or 400, almost 500 there, okay? And I was, as a matter of fact, I think I was telling my son last week sometime, because I know we have the choir, we have specials and everything that we render unto the Lord. But I told him, I said, you know something, we have almost 500 hymns off in that book. And I haven't yet been in a church that sing all of them. Really? We sing maybe, what, one-fifth? About one-fifth of those hymnals. And my heart is stirred. My heart is just stirred on the hymnals. They really are. Before I testify this, have you ever been driving and you pull up to an intersection, traffic, the traffic light there or stop sign, and you park there and you stop there in your car, and then another person drive up next to you, And I'm telling you, and they're jamming, okay? They have their tunes cranked up and they're jamming so well, your car is rocking, okay? I mean, room, room, room. And they're over there, I mean, and they're getting with it. Hey, let me tell you, they're off into their music. They hadn't come unto the Lord yet and not know the Lord's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They're into it. And I have to admit, prior to salvation, I was there too. Had my boom box there and had my, I'll tell on myself because I had 8-tracks. Anybody remember 8-tracks? Oh, man. Those great big old 8-tracks, about that big, you know. Had the case, put them off in there. Had the boom box, and boy, I tell you what, getting with that music. But you know, April 16th, 1989, all that changed. Right, the Spirit of God set in, and now it's the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I came home, and I got rid of that music. I spent some money on it. Preacher, and why don't you give that music and all that you paid money for, give it to somebody. I'm not going to give the devil's music to anybody else. That was his music, okay? And I was into it. I got rid of it. It went to the trash. Then I started spending God's money on good gospel music. At least that's what I thought at that time. I found out that just because a person mentioned Jesus, amen, it's not always an edifying song. It really isn't, you know. So I had to weave out a lot of that also. And so I have very good selective music, amen, that I get from here and there. I like to know something about the artist. I like to know something about the person, amen, singing the song and singing the hymns and the psalm unto the Lord there. So our hearts should be fixed, amen, on singing. That is a psalm and a hymn, psalms and hymns. And then the last one it says in our verse there, it says spiritual songs. And I'm sure maybe the Lord has given each one of you a song that he puts off in your heart every now and then. Just sing a spiritual song unto the Lord. Let me try. I don't really claim to be singing, a singer that is. Y'all have some, let me tell you, some talented vocalists here who can lift up their voices unto the Lord. But a spiritual song. Jesus, I'll never forget what you done for me. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. No, 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 never. I'll bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Yes, I'll bless that wonderful name of Jesus. I'll bless that wonderful name of Jesus. There's no other name I like to know. Amen. I'll tell you what, and I don't. Let me tell you, anything about the Lord, I want to hear about it. So our hearts should be fixed, amen, on the Word of God. Our hearts should be fixed on singing unto the Lord, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord, okay? Also, our hearts, what time? I'm getting there, getting close, okay? Our hearts, amen, I'm going to skip down skip a couple of these and get down to, our hearts should be fixed on his person, on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? You know, because number one, he is omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Nothing is too hard, amen, for him to do in your life. You read the scriptures of the things in which God did for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the ones in the Old Testament and Isaiah and then Elijah and all them in Jeremiah. And then, of course, you come on up through the New Testament with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Peter, and all them. All the wonderful things that God has done for them back then, guess what? He can yet do the same thing for you today. If your heart is fixed on him and entrusting in him. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He has all-sustaining power. Colossians 1:17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen? You know, you and I are here today only by the power and the grace of God. I couldn't even get up this morning unless God spoke and says, life continue. I'd still be laying in that bed, you know. Of course, it'd been okay. I'm ready to go at any time. Okay, but the Lord spoke and said, you know something? I'm going to give Larry Aaron one more day of life. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he did. And especially to be used of him, man, for this evening here. You know what? And sometime when we read off in the scriptures of the wonderful things that God had did for those of yesteryear, sometimes we think, well, that was them. Maybe they had a special relationship or something special with the Lord. No one has a monopoly on God. And it is your heart being fixed on him and the things of God and allowing him to work good, great miracles within your life. But you know, once he does things like that, guess what? He wants you to testify of them. That's all he wants. He wants you to give him glory and honor, and he wants you to testify of those things in which he is doing in your life to others. That's all he wants. Okay? He's omnipresent. That means he is everywhere at the same time. Okay? He's here within the United States and around the world. As a matter of fact, he's over there in Korea with my wife. Man, and she says she's having a wonderful time. She says she has to watch some of the things that she, because there's just so much. And her younger sister, in whom she is residing with at this time, she can eat 5 times a day and only weighs 95 pounds. Boy, I wish I had a metabolism like that. Amen. That is really something. My wife can't do that. She says, I can't do that and all. But it's a good thing to be able to do that. But the Lord is omnipresent. He's everywhere, amen, at the same time. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and good. I remember driving down, I think that's the Stan Sluter highway there. And off to the right, there was a huge, I don't know what you call it, land. It was land, fenced in land. And I remember there's a sign there, and it has this passage on it right here. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and evil there. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good, because people going by, if they want to try to cross over in the land and mess with things or steal stuff like that, if they read that, it seemed like the Spirit of God would just mess with their heart. Mess with their heart, you know. It says, I wonder, shall I cross this fence here and do some mischievous here? But you know, if your hearts are fixed on the Word of God, okay, and we understand that the Lord is omniscient, right? He's everywhere, and he is watching you. I don't know about you, but you know, that keeps me in check, okay? That keeps me from doing a lot of things that I shouldn't. Because if he was like present and you're getting ready to go and engage into some things, and if he's right there, if someone's looking right over your shoulder, it's like, I don't think I should go that way. I don't think I should do that. It keeps you in check. But let me tell you, the Lord is he's omnipresent. He is there, and he is watching. He really is. So you teenagers there, okay, y'all better just straighten up and fly right, okay? Yeah, it's like, you know, you do that little text, hey, meet me at such and such and such, you know it. Uh-huh. The Lord is watching that text. You got it stored too. So be careful. He's watching. Right. Amen. He's omniscient. That means that he is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. There is nothing that the Lord does not know. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. He knows the answer to your dilemma. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, the Lord knows about it, and he knows your answer. You know, I thought about this. You know, the Lord is not trying to get things worked out in your life. He's not trying to work things out in your life, okay? Basically, he has everything already worked out. All we need to do is have our heart fixed on the Lord, right? Gird ourselves up, you know, submit ourselves, our will to his will, right? And just, hey, and just follow him. That's all he wants to do. Follow him. Follow the leading of the Spirit of God. And as we are fellowshipping with him and walking with him on a daily basis there, yes, certain things will come. You know, little trials and little tribulations and little bumps in the road, so to speak, will come. But if your heart is fixed on the Lord, guess what? He promises to take care of you. He promised to be right there every step of the way, never leaving nor forsaking you. He is right there with you all the way until the time that we take, you take, I take my last breath on this side of glory land. I don't know about you, but that's comforting to me. It really is. It's comforting to me. Okay? He knows every thought of every person. Psalm 139:4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Okay? Psalms 90 and verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And let me say this right here. I'll be got about another 5 minutes and be finished. Paul, when he's writing to young Timothy, he pinned this down in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know, if we really were to receive and intake that, okay, let me tell you, praise the Lord, that right there, knowing that you've committed your life, you've committed your soul, you've committed everything unto the Lord, that settles our today, and it settles our future to come. You know, why is your heart, why should our hearts be fixed on his person? Let's have John to speak to our hearts on that. In John 14:1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, and that's good. I mean, that's comforting, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he said, hey, he don't want our hearts troubled. He went to a place that is back up in heaven, and he's preparing a place for you, for me, for all those, amen, who are in Christ. He's preparing a place for us. Now, that's good, and that's fine. But you know something? I'm glad he didn't stop right there. Yeah. You know, really. I continue. He says here, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. That's our wonderful future there. Because our hearts, amen, are fixed, amen, on the Word of God. Our hearts are fixed on singing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual song. Our hearts are fixed on his person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our today, okay, is settled in him. Our future, we have a wonderful, bright future ahead of us, amen, in a wonderful place called heaven. We're going to see our Lord Jesus Christ one day face to face. And I think about that often. I really do. I think about, you know, what he said when he brings us home to be with him. I really try to grasp and picture that in my mind. And the Lord, each and every one of us, singular at each time we appear, and he bids us home with outstretched arms, you know. And I can imagine looking at those nail holes. He kept them for us, for you to me, to see. He kept them. And one day I'll look upon that, on him, and I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I get beside myself. I lose it. I lose it because he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go to Calvary. He didn't have to lay down his life. But he did. He loved you. He loved me. He loved his creation. He loved mankind so that he did that. He went through all that. I wish he didn't have to, but that was God's plan, man. And because of that, man, we have a wonderful future ahead of us. And so that's why down deep inside sometime, you know, I'm not bothered with things that's happening here on this earth. I'm not bothered, you know, if someone say, hey, you have this, or the doctor say you have cancer, or you got 6 months or this. And I really like what Laura Holden, boy, when she found out that she was terminal, and she said, Lord, I want the Lord to take me quickly. She says, I want him to take me quickly. She says, I don't want to suffer long. I want him to take me quicker. Now, I know it's tough to make a decision at that time because, yes, there's a part of us that wants to stay and have fellowship, you know, with our loved ones, our spouses, and our children and grandchildren and all. But let me tell you, when you're going through pain and suffering and you're not in that person's vessel to experience that, you know, you have to have a personal experience with a great, great pain. And so, but she knew where she was going. That was the thing. She knew where she was going after this life was over. And let me tell you, up there with the Lord, and your consolation, my consolation is being in Christ, having our hearts fixed on the Word of God and singing hymns, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, having our hearts fixed, amen, on Christ, the person of Christ. One day, we're going to be there also. We're going to have a wonderful, great reunion up there that will never, ever be broken. We'll never, ever part from that gathering once we get over on the other side. And we won't experience all the suffering and the pain, you know, that we go through down here. I'm looking forward to that one day. I really am looking forward to that. Lord, the Lord's going to make all things new, and I'm looking forward to that. I really am. And that is available. That is available for actually every living soul on the face of this earth. That's available. Really is. If their heart is fixed, amen, on the Word of God, on singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, if their heart is fixed on the person of Christ. Number one, in order for all that to be a reality one day, a person's heart has to be fixed on the Word and believing that God died for them. He was buried. The third day he come up, justified himself. Amen. And if they believe that and receive Christ as their Savior and they get saved, and everything from Genesis to Revelation that's pinned down off in the Scriptures, amen, they can lay hold, they can lay claim to the precious promises of the Word of God. I read that last verse again. And then let me read that one passage I read earlier, 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're admonished this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If your heart is fixed on these things that I mentioned, we are admonished out of the Scriptures there to be steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the things of God while we're yet here on this earth. And I have to say this, time is short. Life is but what James said, but a vapor. Appears for a little while, then it vanisheth away. And once that happened, we have no other opportunity to labor for the Lord. I'll read our passage one more time for this evening. Psalms 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Is your heart fixed upon the Lord this evening? Is your heart fixed upon His Word? Is your heart fixed upon singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Is your heart especially fixed upon the person, the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust it is. Shall we all stand? I do not know, of course, the spiritual state of everyone here, but normally, usually on a Wednesday, There are those that know the Lord and they come back for the midweek Wednesday time, it's a statement that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't know. But if not, if you don't know the Lord, let me tell you, just like me, April 16, 1989, I was in Killeen, Texas, and the Lord sent an evangelist by at the church. It was his first time there. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But he mounted the pulpit. He opened that King James Bible, and I remember him preaching. He preached, "Heaven sweet, hell hot, and sin ugly." And there was about 200 people in the place, and I was sitting somewhere back there, you know, on the second to the last seat, about three seats over. And the Lord got my attention with that message. I was a sergeant first class in the United States Army. And as I was doing business with the Lord right there, no one knew. I was looking up and just saying, "Lord, wow, that's for me. I'm an old wretched sinner. I deserve hell." And at one point, I almost started looking for the door because it got a little bit on the scary side. And I got nervous, and I was like, "Man, I need to get out of here." Because he was talking about hell and the consequences of hell. But then all of a sudden, that evangelist mentioned Romans 5:8. "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And for some reason, God used that passage right there, and that broke my heart. And sitting right there in that seat back there, called upon the name of the Lord, asked him to forgive me of my sin, and asked him to save me. The Spirit of God stepped in. Oh, my goodness. What a day that was. And yet still today, I'm still trying to testify of it, that day would happen way back when. But I said that to say this. If you're not saved, you can call upon the Lord wherever you're at. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to, you know, right there in your seat. And call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. But after you do, tell somebody. Amen. Tell somebody. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you. Lord, I tried to be used of you this evening to give your word, to try to honor you and Lord, and to encourage and edify the hearers that came this evening. I trust that I said that which you wanted me to say, and no more and no less. Pray the Spirit of God is just us working, Lord, in our hearts. I pray that our hearts, Lord, are just stay fixed on the things of God. Lord, on you and singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and the word of God, that we would not neglect it. And especially, Lord, you. Help us to live a life, gracious Father, that's worth saving. Lord, if there's one here that's just not saved, and as I mentioned, they can just call upon your name, Lord, and ask you to save them. And Lord, you will. You'll save them. But afterwards, if they were to do that, help them to make it known. Dear God, I'm going to step back now, and however the rest of the service will conclude, I guess the pianist will pray some and play a little bit, and for those who would like to come and just spend a moment or two at the altar and just talk with you in just a little bit, you know, just search out their heart being fixed on the things in which that was mentioned, that there's an enemy out there that, Lord, it tries to distract us and keep us, Lord, from serving you all that we can. And there's a daily fight going on. And the only way that we can prevail through it all, Lord, is to have our hearts fixed on you and the things of God. And so have your way. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Miss Naomi is going to play a few verses, and if you can come, if you'd like to pray, you can pray at your seat or you can pray up here. Amen. You know, when he was preaching.